Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago is Danny Burke. And you can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Numbers to get in. Can find us on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio, at Danny Burke 5, and always follow at Hail Varsity. Practice report we'll get to, and can email us. We love reading your emails, Chris at HailVarsity.com. Midsherman, ESPN.com, and magazine coming up. Get his take on the Huskers v. Purdue. Thoughts around some bigger picture questions in college football. He had a chance to see Georgia live and in person. And next hour, Blair Kirkhoff of the Kansas City Star had a really good column on Scott Frost, the Nebraska situation, and what Nick Saban went through in his first year in a major conference when he was at Michigan State. Tom Dienhart, longtime member of BTN, is doing a lot of work with the Big Ten and with Purdue. So we'll get caught up with Tom Dienhart next hour. Some NFL thoughts. The topic of reset, and we were going to play Brohm's comment regarding Scott Frost's comment about winnable game. Towards the end of the show, we didn't get to it. We'll touch on that. How much of it is bulletin board, used as fuel, yada, yada, yada. I don't know. We'll let you hear what Coach Brohm had to say about it. But I want to talk about practice. I want to get into today's practice and what Nebraska is heading into Purdue week with. And let's start with the nose guard spot. Mick Stoltenberg today was on crutches, knee heavily wrapped. He got dinged against Michigan. It's his left knee. Don't know the severity other than it's Tuesday and he's not practicing. I know he didn't speak to the media on Monday, and Mick's one of the guys that'll talk. That means Carlos Davis, come on down. Here's my take. Mick is a dude that is going to grind. Mick's a guy that'll face the music. Mick's a guy that'll take three dudes on at the same time and hold his ground. That said, Mick's not been getting a ton of snaps in comparison to previous years because of the rotation you have on the defensive line. Carlos Davis, Mick Stoltenberg has been your starter, but Carlos has been in there. Stilley's been in there, granted, in some of the pass rush situations. But it's going to be a chance for Carlos Davis to use his athleticism, and he's not quite as tall and as lanky as Mick. Damian Daniels, I was watching some of the Michigan game, and that dude has burst off the line in his size. Is fearsome. So Nebraska has options. Do you want Mick in there to stuff that run? Yeah. How much of the run game is going to be a factor with Purdue? I don't know. They're going to chuck it about 60 times and find more all over the field. I'm about getting some penetration and getting after the quarterback. So the silver lining with whether or not Mick can go and how much he can go on Saturday is that Damian Daniels is probably a good choice from a pass rush standpoint. Carlos Davis is a good choice from a pass rush standpoint. What you don't have is that leadership and attitude and motor of Mick. And that was a topic of discussion today. The love of the game. Now, the movie was just on, For the Love of the Game. Kelly Preston. You remember Kelly Preston, Danny Burke? You're combing, you're thinking, it's John Travolta's wife.
Okay.
You ever seen Jerry Maguire?
Yes.
The opening scene that really got all of us smiling about being a sports agent wasn't the kid, wasn't the concussed father that played hockey. It was the hottie that was all over said agent, right? That's Kelly Preston. She was in a movie with Costner called For the Love of the Game. He was the Detroit Tigers pitcher and probably could start for this year's Tigers. Awful movie. Got drugged to it by my wife. Sorry, I went off on a Kelly Preston tribute there. But where I'm at with this is love, okay? The love of the game. And Mo Berry was making comments. He loves football. He's told that to anyone that'll listen. He plays passionately. And Coach Chenander asked about Mo Berry, his passion, what he brings to the party.
Yeah, I think and I think Mo, you know, he's one of the guys also. He made some critical errors in the game, just like everybody else. I think Mo can make up for it a little bit with the effort that he plays with the passion that he plays with. And I think the guys feed off of him a little bit, even when we got down in that game and he's still playing hard and he's celebrating and he's having a great time playing football. I think he's a guy that really loves football, and we need 11 guys that love football out there. We need 22 guys that love football. Eventually, we need 105 guys that just love to play football. Period, whether it's out in the rain on a Tuesday or whether it's in the big house or whether it's in Memorial Stadium, doesn't matter. They love football, practice, games, whatever, and I think that's what he does.
We need 105 guys that love football. Have we not talked about this for a while? And it's been brought up. And it's not subtle anymore. It's not backhanded. It's not passive-aggressive. It is out in the open, and that's what this staff will do. There are guys on this team that need to be better. There are guys on this team that need to make a decision. Do you love playing football? Do you want to be a football player? Are you a football player, or are you a guy that plays football? And again, it's been brought up. And guys that love the game of football pay a price to play football. That's being academically sound. That's meetings. That's having your guys back. That's film study. That's weight room. That's nutrition. Again, it's the lifestyle, right? And it's been brought up now on Tuesday by the defensive coordinator, asked about Mo Berry. Mo Berry, doesn't matter what the score is, he's going 100 miles per hour. He's trying to make plays. And I don't think how demonstrative he is a result of him just being kind of a loudmouth. I think he's a guy that's just super passionate and he's trying to fire his guys up. He's your emotional leader. I am not comparing him to Ray Lewis, but look at Ray Lewis. From a demonstrative actions standpoint. Watched Ray Lewis a lot of years. And Ray Lewis was, aside from the Orange Bowl, pretty vocal out there, and his head's always bobbing, and he was making noise because the play was being made by Ray Lewis and some of his mates, be it at Miami or in Baltimore. So, again, public statement, need 105 guys who love football. More from Chenander on that love of the game.
I think right now that the stage in our program, obviously we got to get some length and speed because I really believe that our nutrition, our strength and conditioning can develop guys with length and speed, but also you got to have guys that are great guys that we want in the program and that love football. And I think those are, if it's even close right now, I'm going to take the guy that loves football and is a good person. We don't need any more guys that, you know, that are walking the line all the time, that we got to hold their hand. We don't need guys that maybe love football. We don't need those guys that play football. But you ask them, hey, did you watch that NFL game last night, or did you watch the whatever Oregon Stanford game? And they're like, nah, I don't really watch football outside. I don't want those guys anymore. I want guys that love football. Their life revolves around football. They got to do academics. They got to be good in the community. But I want guys that love football, period.
He's sick of guys that are half in, that they're depending on because they clearly have an ability to play, but are they invested in it? That's what it comes down to, the investment level. Yeah, getting school paid for, I'm here, get the gear, get the chicks. Yeah, I might go hard today. Or if it's a big game, I might go hard. Or if there's an NFL scout here, I might go hard. Or if it's a big name opponent, I might go hard. And you're supposed to be on all the time, every game. That's kind of not negotiable with Coach Frost, Coach Janander, what this team wants to be. And it's out there publicly, again, for a second week in a row. So here is your recourse. If you're not getting it, and it's your prerogative as defensive coordinator or position coach to make changes. There is who gives us the best chance to win, and then you factor in how much does this guy love football? What's his investment level to himself, to the team? What is it? And if you're still questioning that now in going into game four, you can't have him, you can't win with him, you can't play him. And that needs to start happening. I've heard a lot about buy-in and investment and practices, and there needs to be changes made. You've had three games for guys to kind of get it into more full-time versus part-time mode, right? And the coaches, it's their right to make a change. And if you're like, well, why isn't so-and-so playing? The diplomatic answer is going to be, well, we just wanted to see how so-and-so work out there for a little bit. You're just probably tired as a coach. You're 0-3. It's gone downhill from a 5-point loss to the Troy loss, to getting annihilated by an incredible football team, an incredible defensive football team. We'll see where Michigan ends up. They're 9-3, 10-2, where they go. They have the ability to be someone that could really challenge Ohio State. We'll see how Ohio State is this weekend against Penn State. But no, it's time to make changes. And that's hard because maybe somebody with better skill sets and athleticism are there to help you win, but it doesn't matter if they're not putting the effort out there, if they aren't there to make the play, if they're not studying up on where to be to make the play. So call it a gauntlet that's been thrown down Tuesday by Janander. And hopefully if you're a Nebraska fan, practice was good today. It gets better tomorrow. It's nice by Thursday. And it's going to be a fun ball game. It used to be a lot of fun. Purdue is closer to the Drew Brees Purdue than the Purdue that hung 55 on you back in 2015. Blau's good. Moore's really good. They got some big bastard down at defensive tackle that's really wrecked Nebraska last year. It'll be a good challenge for the offensive line this year. Chris is on the line. Chris, thanks for calling in. Welcome into Hail Varsity. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, Schmitty. If you go and rewind your tape a couple of minutes, you go back and there was whatever you were saying, I just caught it kind of listening to you, and it had shades of Mike Singletary's rant from several years back where he just went off the rails.
I think Jay Moore was in the locker room for that one.
Oh, my God.
With the Niners.
You know, over Vernon Davis, if I remember.
Yeah, correctly. And Vernon, you know, was just, Vernon had has Pro Bowl talent, but then not much give a damn at the time.
Doesn't that pretty much sum up some of what we're staring at? Like, we have some talent, but they're just not putting forth the effort. And, you know, so I just it made me think of that. So thanks, Schmitty.
No, it's all good, Mike Singletary. he wasn't about it. He wasn't about you being like halfway in or a little coddling going on. No. Oh, that's what it is. And that's the rock and the hard spot, isn't it? You have some guys that you can win with that have talent. They are talented, very talented, but are they all in? And are they willing to get it out? Here's a guy that I remember that like just jacked around, and then when his senior year got here, God, he was very, very, very good. And for whatever reason, he just kept ticking off his position coach. Remember Philip Dillard at linebacker? Remember Philip Dillard battling, staying at playing weight? And by his senior year, that 09 defense with him and Sue, Philip Dillard ended up playing a couple, 3 years with the Giants, fourth round pick. Philip Dillard finally got it. The light came on. It was time to show up. And he was incredible in 09. But it took a while. So you don't ever want to, like, punt on a kid, but there are ways to motivate, and lack of playing time is one way. Now, is it at the detriment of the team? Because there are some guys that are just bigger, stronger, faster that you need. But if they're not going to give you the effort anyway, you can't count on them. Good for Coach Chenander, wanting those who love the game. Great to be with you on a Tuesday. Can give us a shout, 466-377-6800, 825-5865. Email Chris at HaleVarsity.com. Follow Danny on Twitter at DannyBurke5, at Schmidt_radio, at Hale Varsity. Blair Kirchhoff and Tom Dienhart next hour. Mitch Sherman's on the way. Open phones for you the last 25 minutes of this hour. Hale Varsity continues.
Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HaleVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Oh, I got great news for a friend of the show, Jeremiah Searles, your newest member of the Buffalo Bills. It's been out by Twitter, but Searles gave the green light via social media. He's got the old Buffalo Bills insignia on there. Good for him, man. It was a little rough and tough on him with that hammy. Good for him getting picked up by Buffalo. And anxious to go see him do some work and continue a big-time career. Welcome in, Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and magazine, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm well, Chris. How are you?
I'm good, man. Big weekend of college football. A lot of fun last weekend. Obviously not for Nebraska, but I'm talking Iowa, Wisconsin, Stanford, Oregon. Great ball games. Ohio State, Penn State this weekend. I want to start with Nebraska, though, and I know you were at the Missouri-Georgia game, but you cover and follow Nebraska and college football nationally. Mitch, what do you think of Nebraska's spot right now as they head in, coming off this Michigan loss? Are you worried about confidence for Nebraska, or was it just Michigan's that much ahead, that taller, so to speak, than Nebraska, that much taller than Nebraska?
Yeah, both. I think confidence is an issue. I don't know how it couldn't be at this point. It was definitely an issue at moments in that game, or maybe throughout the game, maybe even before the game. It's hard to know, and it's hard to get inside the heads of the Nebraska players. I don't think they're going to be quick to admit or whatever admit that they started that game a couple of touchdowns down because of the confidence factor. But when the month of September has gone the way it has, you know, Nebraska needed a boost in the arm coming into this season. There's really no other way to spin it. After the end of last season, and with the amount of change that these players have absorbed, they needed a shot of confidence at the beginning of the year, and that's what the non-conference portion of the season was supposed to provide, and it obviously did not, basically just the opposite. So you see the result on Saturday in Ann Arbor. I would definitely be worried about the confidence moving ahead. There was nothing that happened out there, or very little, that is going to infuse confidence now as they come home to face Purdue. So Michigan was better, bigger, as you said, more prepared, physically, mentally, a better team at this point. But I'm concerned, if I'm Nebraska, about the mentality of my team heading into a second Big Ten game here on Saturday.
Yeah, Mitch, kind of staying on the topic of confidence, what kind of performance do you think the Huskers need against the Boilermakers this weekend in order to boost that confidence and really carry it the rest of the season? Do you imagine it would have to be a blowout or maybe a come-from-behind victory where they all rally around each other? What do you envision it would take?
I just think they need a win. I think they need to play well and not make so many mistakes. They need to look like a sound football team in all areas. They need to cut the penalties. They need to be effective on special teams. They need to give their freshman quarterback an opportunity to make plays. And they need to get Scott Frost's first victory so they can notch that on their belt and move forward. I mean, I don't think anybody is thinking about a blowout or what kind of win it needs to be. It just needs to be a win. If it's 1 point or 21 points, that should give Nebraska, I think, a lot of positivity if they can get that, and that's a big if. If they get it, then it's a step. It's movement forward, because everything that's happened since the end of that Colorado game, since the moment that Adrian Martinez left that game, everything that's happened since then has been a step in the wrong direction. So they need to turn that thing around. And really the only way to do it, I think, against Purdue is to win the game. There's not any kind of really a step forward that can be taken if they're 0-4 after Saturday.
Mitch Sherman's with us, ESPN.com and magazine at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, there's a fine line between going with somebody else on the defensive side of the ball or offensive side of the ball that loves football, and that was touched on by Coach Chenander today. They love football, but just because you love it doesn't mean you're more talented than the guy in front of you. But you need the want to, right? And that's an issue right now. Do you expect changes? Do you expect Nebraska to take a look at that offensive line this week and maybe make some changes? I'm not smart enough to say, well, okay, the five new offensive linemen, well, they played better and Nebraska scored against Michigan. The context of that game was a blowout. It was over. It was done. But you had better offensive line play despite the situation, despite the context. Is that something you think Nebraska will investigate if you're Coach Austin or if you're Coach Chenander, making changes, maybe going to a little bit of an air quote less talented guy, but a guy that maybe gives a damn a little bit more?
Yeah, I heard the comments today from Chenander about wanting guys who like football, who watch football, who are into it, don't just play the game, but study the game and love it. And I understand that. It was interesting to hear him say that for sure, because I think he's kind of setting everybody up for what looks like is inevitable, and that is some kind of shift in personnel. I mean, this team, I don't want to make too much of it in light of the big picture, because I don't think that all that much that's happened over the last month, 3 weeks to a month, impacts the projection of Scott Frost's program months and years down the road, but it certainly has a huge impact on this season. And you coach in part when you're in season, you coach for that season. And when you're out of season, I think you talk and you coach about things that are more big picture oriented. So right now you're a third of the way or a fourth of the way through the season, and you're focused on the things, if you're Nebraska or you're us having this conversation, you're focused on the things that are going to work for you here and now in the rest of September, October, November. And looking at it like that, I think they need to make some wholesale changes. If not wholesale, they need to make some look at some significant changes, because what they're doing right now, the last 2 weeks, it really hasn't worked. And I don't think you can go into this next game and say the same guys are going to go out there with the same kind of plan and it's going to look a whole lot different. They need to at least investigate what would happen if they made some big moves in as far as personnel. And it seemed to me that what I've heard a little bit from Frost yesterday and even Saturday after the game and today from Chenander is that they're kind of setting this thing up so that people understand what they see out there on Saturday as far as there being a different lineup of guys playing on the offensive and defensive side.
Yeah, the term can't do it or don't want to do it, I mean, rings rings very, very true. What did you make of Frost's comments after Michigan, winnable game, paraphrasing, and Brahms' reaction to it in his presser on Monday. Didn't take complete offense to it, but, yeah, acknowledges that it's out there and it's said. How did you read into that?
Well, really minor thing that Frost said. I mean, hey, it's a winnable game for Purdue also. Every game, you know, every game presents an opportunity to win. You know, when Nebraska goes and plays Ohio State, it presents them an opportunity to win. Doesn't mean they think they're gonna win the game or they are a better team. You know, I mean, Purdue's gonna probably mention that. I would imagine it'll get brought up when that team is getting ready to play in Lincoln on Saturday. You're as a coach, you're always looking for something. You know, Michigan said that they used the comments Scott Frost made back in 2016 when he was the UCF coach about being the more physical team. I mean, and that wasn't even the same guys. So there's one guy, Trey Neal, who was on that team that's on this team now. It was the coaching staff. So Michigan didn't need that as motivation to go out and beat up on Nebraska on Saturday. They could have done without it, but you know, they brought it up. So I'm sure Purdue will bring up. They'll find a way, I would imagine, to spin it to their players that, you know, they're being disrespected, and that's fine. You know, Nebraska would do the same if the shoe was on the other foot. So it's just something that teams do. I don't think it's a reason to be concerned if you're Nebraska. I don't think it's a reason to change the way that you speak moving forward if you're Scott Frost, because every game is an opportunity to win.
Mitch Sherman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, ESPN.com, and Magazine, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, some good games. Got about 3 minutes here. Actually, two. Stanford, Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State. What are you thinking here? Which game are you at this weekend?
I'm in Lincoln.
Okay.
I didn't think I'd be back in Nebraska so quick, but, you know, we got to monitor this thing now and see what happens if it does go in a wrong direction for Nebraska. So thought about going down and checking out Texas at Kansas State and see what's real and what's not with the Longhorns in a place they've had no success for about 15 years. But I will be in Lincoln on Saturday. Those are huge games out east with Ohio State going to Penn State and Stanford going to Notre Dame. You know, they're about as big a games as there are left on the schedule. Now, I mean, there of course there will be other big games when you get down to the end of the year, but for this time of year, they're about as big a games as you can get. And you know, you're talking about four undefeated teams that are in the thick of the conversation for the college football playoff a month before the first set of rankings come out. So, you know, I think Ohio State's got more talent than Penn State for sure. I think that'll shine through on Saturday. The other game, I don't know what to make of it because Notre Dame looked like a different team offensively with Ian Book in charge against Wake Forest, but it was Wake Forest. And then what to make of Stanford also to get outplayed essentially for 3.5 quarters or 3 quarters and come back and win in that kind of fashion against Oregon. Maybe Stanford is one of those teams of destiny this year that's going to represent the Pac-12 and make a run at something on the national level. So I'm a little bit more confused about what I think is going to happen in that game in South Bend. But I think Ohio State's going to take care of business. I think that they're the class of the Big Ten when it comes to talent on the field. And, you know, this very well may be their biggest test, definitely their biggest test until the big game at the end of the year against Michigan.
I think so. Mitch, it'll be good to get caught up with you Saturday, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for a few minutes today, bud.
All right, thanks, guys. Take
there
care.
There is Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine, at Mitch Sherman. Be sure to stop by the Hale Varsity offices in the rail yard. Get that Nebraska gear you want, the black shirt. You can log on, see what I'm talking about, store.halevarsity.com. We'll talk about those comments, Brahms' reaction on the way.
Now live from the ESPN Lincoln Studios, it's Hale Varsity.
I know what that means.
With Chris Schmidt and Danny Burke.
Great to have you back. Hale Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke. Blair Kirchhoff coming up 20 minutes. His thoughts on Frost and the reality that this isn't a quick fix and how Nick Saban dealt with it. Some parallels between Frost and Saban. We'll hear from Tom Deanhart on Purdue. I want to remind you about the laws of physics. Don't glaze over. It's about seat belts. Your body is traveling the same speed as the vehicle you're in. Even if you're sitting on your keister, and if that vehicle stops abruptly, well, you're going to get in a crash. Your body will continue moving forward. Something's got to stop that motion, and airbags usually aren't enough. Do you want a seatbelt or a windshield to stop your movement? Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down, and they do it in a hurry. And that applies when you're in the driver's seat, the passenger seat, or the back seat. Buckle up now, click it or ticket. Message from the Department of Highway Safety Office. And buckle up, click it or ticket. Please do so. 466-377-6800, 825-5865. Can send an email, chris@hailvarsity.com. And follow us on Twitter @Schmidt_radio, @DannyBurke5. So the reality is this. Purdue may have put some quotes around winnable game. They may have a T-shirt that says, quote, winnable game. They may get fired up here in the locker room before kickoff at 2:30 for this winnable game for both teams. But what's going to make it a winnable game for Nebraska's guys who love football? That's been very clear by Shenander. But also, you know, the thing that you felt good about with Coach Frost, and I still feel good about, is the Monday through Thursday part of things. Nebraska is going to get put through the ringer to make Saturdays the easy part. That's the goal. That's the hope. But Nebraska's got to do their part as a team and go make those leaps from Monday, making Tuesday a better day than Monday, Wednesday better than Tuesday. Coach Shenander touched on that, the practices and how you finish. Not just in games, not just in quarters, but also during the week of practice. How do you finish a week?
I think what you said is accurate. We've started practice strong. We've started practice strong every week. We have not ended practice strong every week. Last week, Thursday, to be honest with you, was very below average. Wednesday was okay. Tuesday was okay. Monday was really good. We need to practice really good on Monday, better on Tuesday, the best on Wednesday, and then completely dialed in on Thursday. Once that happens, I think it'll translate to Saturday. But right now, that has not happened.
It hasn't, and it needs to. Folks are concerned about Maurice Washington being in street clothes today. And when we know more, we'll let you know on that. But three touches against Michigan. I know at the end of the Troy game, I mean, it looked like he took a pretty good shot to his thigh. And he's a guy you want on the team. But he's a guy that needs to be coachable too. And he's your difference maker at back right now. He is. Maybe Greg Bell will find his rhythm. Maybe Greg Bell will find kind of his groove. Only three games. You know what Ziggy can do, and that's get you some tough yards. And maybe I'm overreacting here, but give me some more Wyatt Mazur. And switch his number to 22 and just call him Rex. That's a stretch, I know. Good dude. Gritty player. Looked fine. He looks elusive, doesn't he? Can he do that against a Purdue defense versus a third team or fourth team Michigan defense? Danny, talk me out of this. Any word?
Talk you out of not getting him more reps
I mean, do you get Wyatt Mazur more snaps on Saturday?
I mean, I don't see why not. I don't see why you don't get a lot of people more snaps if we're talking about who wants to be out there actually playing like you opened up with this segment or the show with. I don't see why you wouldn't give people more the opportunity if you really don't. I mean, deep down, you know if you have a chance in some of these games and if you don't. Against Michigan, against Wisconsin's a little different, but like against Ohio State, you probably know you're going to get whooped, so why not let people get experience, develop, and put the guys out there who really want to play? So, yeah, give them an opportunity. I have no problem with it.
Yeah. There's an opportunity to overreact and use some bulletin board material with winnable game. We had it for you yesterday, didn't get to it. We're too slammed. Here is Brohm's reaction to the winnable game comment.
Scott Frost was quoted after the Michigan game saying, "We get a game that we can win." Don't know if you were aware of that, but kind of your reaction to that, and is that something that you will share with your team if your team doesn't already know?
Well, you're correct. I think that obviously he was talking after a loss that he didn't like very much, so I get it. But no, I think everything that's said is heard, and our team needs to respond and understand that you know, we've got to show up ready to play, and this team will be licking their chops to try to get us.
Yeah, so everything that is said is heard. So Nebraska has that. Listen, man, Purdue just got their first win. They were there against Missouri. They got beat by a bad Northwestern team. They're pretty loaded at offensive spots. I mean, it's going to be a hell of a ball game without the winnable game. Everything that's said is heard. I mean, it's a T-shirt maker's dream this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, this is right up your alley, man. We got to hear your ideas for the T-shirts.
I would just predict the score.
Fair enough.
But I would just predict the score.
No, but I don't see how you would be too insulted if you're Purdue here. You had a tough start to this season. It's understandable. And I think the whole backlash on Frost really saying that is kind of ridiculous. I know Derek Peterson tweeted something about it yesterday, and he's like, what do you want your coach to say, that they're not a beatable team, that we can't beat them, that we shouldn't? I mean, that's ridiculous. But no, this is the game that Nebraska has to win. There's no question about it. Even if your season most likely won't end in you being in a bowl game, you have to win this game. Otherwise, I think it's time to really just look deep down, like we've been saying, at your personnel, at your roster. What's going on here? You got to beat Purdue at home, man. It's not tougher than that.
No, exactly. And the thing is you're dogged. 4.5, Danny. That's not the token. Nebraska's favored by 3.5. That means if you do the math on that, the creative Danny Casino math, that means Purdue by a touchdown. 4.5 plus the 3.5 Nebraska is supposed to get. What's the Boilers by a touchdown? What's the over-under on this thing?
I would guess it's pretty high.
You haven't researched it yet?
No, I haven't.
Danny, what the hell?
Well, I usually wait a little bit.
Are you dating somebody?
No, I'm a little preoccupied with some other things, I guess. I don't know, man.
Oh, what? Like working?
I'll look it up at the break.
Okay.
We'll discuss it a little bit more.
Fine.
So I'm slacking. I apologize.
No, you're fine. I just thought they called you for this stuff. I can get to HaleVarsity.com. Which game will be Nebraska's first win of the season? Vote now. Purdue, Wisconsin, Northwestern, Minnesota, Bethune-Cookman. We'll wind down hour one next.
And now,
back to Hale Varsity Radio.
One final time this hour, 10 minutes away, Blair Kirkhoff, Kansas City Star. His thoughts on the Scott Frost era at Nebraska and the Big Red start to 2018, and maybe how it reminds him of St. Nick's start at Michigan State. Dear friend of the show, Tom Deanhart, with the Big Ten Insider and with Purdue football, going to join us in about 30 minutes. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Fan poll again. You can vote HaleVarsity.com. Which game will be Nebraska's first win of the season? Purdue, Wisconsin, Northwestern, Minnesota, and Bethune-Cookman. So we're trying to reach out to Searles, bribe him with some ranch.
Yeah, I think that's how you get it done.
So we can get him on a little less than an hour. I'll see.
All righty.
He may be packing for Buffalo. I know he's packing for Buffalo. Good for him, dude. That's awesome.
And by the way, there's no over-under set. But if
yet?
I have to guess.
That's got
to
be.
Yet. I think they wait with a lot of the
60?
College football games till the end of the week. I was going to guess. I immediately thought like 58. No. I immediately thought 58. Then I thought about it, and it usually goes higher to what my initial thought is. So I'm thinking like 63 to 65-ish around there.
Sure. That's like 35-28 type deal.
Right.
That's fair. Sauter-Hayman, very fair when it comes to your selection, your pricing, And they're over the top with incredible customer service. They're Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. Go see Rick in the gang. It's Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln around West in Grand Island. 10 to 40% off is what you pay compared to Earthmine diamonds with pure-grown diamonds. They're diamonds grown in a lab, and they're some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. They are beautiful. And maybe it's birthday, anniversary, wedding, or just husband of the year qualifications that you need. But go see Sauter Heyman. Go see Rick, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. Should we qualify some folks for Purdue, Nebraska?
Let's do it.
All right, caller 8 and 9 right now.
Dear Lord, in the battles go through life, we ask for a chance that's fair. Chance to get all the stripes. Chance to do or dare. If we should win, let it be by the code. By faith and honor held high. If we should lose, stand by the road. Cheers, winners go by.
To get an opportunity to come back here is special to me. Words can't describe how much it means to me to be back here in a place that I love, a place that I understand, a place that I want to represent.
There you go. Caller 8, caller 9, qualify. Purdue, Nebraska tickets. Going to be a good ball game. Going to be a chance to see that win number one for Scott Frost. 800-825-5865-466-3776. Caller 8 and caller 9 qualify right now. We are good to go with Jeremiah Searles in about 45 minutes. Newest member of Bill's Mafia. That's good stuff for him. That's where the Buffalo Wing was invented. And OJ used to live there during the season. Caller 8 and 9 right now qualifies. 800-825-5865 or 466-3776. Nebraska Purdue tickets. Blair Kirchhoff on the way with Kansas City Star on Nebraska.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you. It's Hour 2 at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's talk a little college football and some NFL. Friend of the program with the Kansas City Star, Blair Kirchhoff, at Blair Kirchhoff on Twitter. Blair, how's your football season going? What's up?
It's going great, Chris. Thanks. It's hard to believe it's a month over. I guess we all got kind of cheated that first week with all the rainouts. But yeah, not bad. Not bad at all.
You did a story in the Kansas City Star, and it's been picked up by a number outlets on Scott Frost, and the theme being no quick fix for Nebraska. You were able to relay a story from Nick Saban when you had a conversation with Nick Saban, his matchup against Nebraska in 1995 when he was at Michigan State. Touch on that if you could, the reality of guys taking over programs with expectation at a high and the reality of a rebuild.
You know, as the game Saturday, the Huskers Michigan game was unfolding, I got to thinking about new coaches at programs, first year in the program coaches, and it just occurred, and I was trying to think of the better coaches and the programs, the historically strong programs, and not coaches there who are taking over teams that are programs that were coming off successful seasons, just ones that where coaching change was deemed necessary. And there are a bunch of them. If you just go back and think about it, they're all even the strong programs have had years where they needed coaching changes. So I don't know why I thought about this, but so I started thinking in terms of coaches, and Nick Saban came to mind. And I remembered after the national championship game, when Alabama beat Notre Dame. game, coaches always have a news conference the next morning. And because Alabama had won that game, that meant they had won three national championships in four seasons. And that was the same as Nebraska in 94, 95, and 97. So I just wanted to get Nick to go back to, you know, some of his early coaching days and thoughts and what were his recollections. And he went to that game. Now, he had been head coach in college for previously. He'd been at Toledo like 4 years earlier, and then went to serve as a defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns under Bill Belichick, and then he got back into college at Michigan State. And that first game was at home against Nebraska, the 95 season. The Huskers, like they did just about everybody else that year, just squashed Michigan State. And Saban remembered, you know, as you recall that day, thought he wasn't ready to coach. He just thought, you know, he made the wrong move, that his guys didn't have his guys ready. He was mad at his guys. He thought they kind of quit on him. And so it was interesting to hear him say that. And, of course, everybody remembers how good that Nebraska team was. That Michigan State team turned out to be not terrible. I mean, they ended up going to a bowl game that year and had an NFL quarterback, Tony Banks. Anyway, it just goes to show that great coaches, went on to greatness and programs can have, you know, really tough times early in a coaching tenure, and we see that happening right now with the Huskers.
Blair Kirkhoff's with us, Kansas City Star, Hail Varsity Radio. You're right, and we talk to Coach McBride every week, and he's been able to talk with Saban from time to time, and even Coach Osborne. They've relayed a story at midfield after that game from Coach McBride to me was, well, you know, Nick, we have a pretty good team. I mean, that was,
yeah.
I think we're a pretty good team, and don't feel so bad. You're going to be okay. Was the message from Coach Osborne and Coach McBride. You know what? Even that first year at Alabama for Saban, I think they went 7-6 and beat Colorado. You know what year two was good, was like, and year three, and the rest is history, as they say down at Alabama. But I think he was, just think about his rise, the jump back to LSU, rising them up, and then taking over, you know, Bears program. And the lessons he took with him from that first year at Michigan State, even his second year at Michigan State, they went in and beat, you know, John Cooper's team, which was a great John Cooper team.
Yeah.
So it's just funny to hear that first kind of knee-jerk reaction moment of panic. And that's one thing I don't think Coach Frost, he hasn't shown, and I don't think he'll have. I think he's just frustrated, is the panic. I think he's pretty steadfast.
Yeah, I get that sense as well. You know, and Saban didn't become Saban for quite a while. You know, it took those years at Michigan. He left after, you know, he didn't have a season better than 7-5 in his first 4 years at Michigan State. They went 9-2 and left for LSU before he even coached the bowl game. I believe it was Bobby Williams, the assistant, who took over for and coached Michigan State in the bowl game that year, then became the head coach. And Saban goes to LSU and he does win the national championship, it's a great thing. It was won before he takes off for the NFL again, the Miami Dolphins. And so, you know, that long into his career, after several jumps and coaching changes, he was a coach with one national championship and unsuccessful as an NFL head coach with the Dolphins before he lands at Alabama. And Alabama is sort of in dire straits, but it's Alabama. But, you know, they had gone through a tough stretch. But these last almost decade or so at Alabama have been magical. And he has, you know, I think he's, if not the greatest, one of the, on the very short list now of greatest college coaches of all time. You know, Osborne would be there as well. And so it just, you know, it takes a little while, takes some patience. And you don't know if you've got the right guy, but if you think you do and you ride with it and you suffer through some tough times like what's going on right now.
That's the thing, is you have kind of a backpedal that's going on, Blair. You had a great opener against Colorado despite no Akron game. And I'm not sure where Colorado fits. I mean, I think they're obviously a bowl team, but I don't know where they rank in the Pac-12. They've got some really good guys on offense. But from a rushing number, I mean, Nebraska has gone in reverse against Troy, and then Michigan's for real. I mean, Michigan's that good defensively. But this Purdue game is going to be super, super key if you have any hopes, and it's on life support now of finding your way to a bowl game.
Yeah, and I actually covered Purdue 2 weeks ago. I was at the Purdue-Missouri game, and Purdue was coming off the loss to Eastern Michigan, and they're back to the wall for their season. They had some high hopes coming into – not high hopes, but, you know, they thought they could duplicate last year's success under Jeff Brohm and get back to a bowl game, and now they're looking at – they're 0-2 and have Missouri coming in. Missouri ends up, you know, beating them, but Purdue keeps it close and makes that it was a tie game with just 2.5-3 minutes to go, and Drew Locke takes Missouri down the field to get the game-winning field goal. Then Purdue turns around and beats Boston College last week, and I knew that was coming. You could see that this Purdue team was they were feeling a little bit, and I think they've got some things straightened out. And David Blough is having quite the season, or at least the last couple of weeks. And this this number four, this freshman wide receiver return specialist, Rondale Moore, man, that guy's terrific, terrific. I mean, NFL caliber good. So this is I know when you look at the schedule, you think there's the victory opportunity, but I think this one's going to be tougher than originally thought.
This one's a toss-up. I mean, Purdue's favored. It'll take some special teams coverage because Nebraska doesn't want to go a third straight week of giving up a punt return, and Moore can do that. He's incredible, and Nebraska's going to have to hold on to the football. It'll be an exciting ball game, and should be some points scored. Turnovers will kind of tell the tale of that, and can you get better line play from Nebraska on the offensive side of things. Blair, what's your take on Oklahoma and Missouri? You get a chance to see both the Big 12 and the SEC. I was pretty wowed by TCU against Ohio State. They've kind of come back to earth. Can Missouri jump up in the SEC East? And who's going to be the threat to Oklahoma?
Yeah, how do you not admire what Army was able to do last week? You know, with the Sooners, I think it would have ended up being 85-40 in terms of plays run favoring Army, and 44 minutes of possession time. That had to totally infuriate Mike Stoops, the defensive coordinator at Oklahoma, not being able to get his guys off the field as Army loses that game in overtime. And I think what that game did for Oklahoma, even though the Sooners have started out undefeated, is it changes the thinking a little bit on the Sooners. You look around the country and see the starts of Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, and it's almost as if those guys have maybe created a little separation in terms of the four teams you think might end up being in the college football playoff. And you know, Georgia played Missouri last week, and I thought Missouri was all. It was there physically with Georgia, mm-hmm. but had a block punt to return for a touchdown, had a fumble return for a touchdown. Georgia did had a Drew Lock pass bounce off a receiver's head for an interception. Just the kind of mistakes you absolutely cannot have if you're playing a team that's as good as Georgia. But total yards were close to being even, and atmosphere was terrific in Columbia. They just couldn't get it done against Georgia. And so that kind of put a little burst in the bubble of Missouri season. They came in undefeated, and it was thinking they were the number two team in the SEC East. But you look at what Kentucky's done and admire that. So I don't know. I think that Missouri probably looking at, 7-8 win season this year. Oklahoma will get to 11 wins or so, and win the Big 12. But I don't think Oklahoma is going to end up being in the Final Four, and I don't think Missouri will end up threatening Georgia in the SEC.
Blair Kirkhoff with us, Kansas City Star, Hail Varsity Radio, @ Blair Kirkhoff on Twitter. Blair, what did you expect from Mahomes in Kansas City?
Well, not this. A good season, but not this. I mean, to be, to have 13 touchdown passes without a pick in his first three games, which is more than anybody in NFL history, it's incredible. So, But you have to expect something good. Here's a guy who sat for a year after he was drafted, sat for a year and got to watch Alex Smith, got to be coached by Matt Nagy and Andy Reid, and now it is at his disposal are weapons like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. In the offseason, they go at Sammy Watkins, and he had the NFL rushing leader and Kareem Hunt behind him. So he was placed into a good spot. He has taken full advantage of it so far, and he is for real, and he's not going to stop. I think other teams will maybe figure him out a little bit, but it's been so much fun to watch this guy operate an offense. He makes it look easy sometimes, and that's difficult to do in the NFL.
Well, that's the thing, is guys will adjust to him, but I think he is ready-made to distribute in this offense with these playmakers. You still got to go do it, and he hasn't been rattled. What's your projection for Kansas City? Pretty stiff next three. They're at Denver. Denver's playing some good football defensively. Jacksonville, and then at New England.
Yeah, and the Denver game is Monday night, so a lot of prime time. That's where Mahomes made his first start last year, the regular season finale, so I was kidding around with somebody that after the game on this Monday, he'll have played more games in Denver than he has in Kansas City because the Chiefs have only played one at home. So, you know, I've had to upgrade my projection. I had him at 10-6, and I thought, you know, I like the Chargers in the AFC West. And the Chargers they're under 500, but they've had a tougher schedule early, I think, than the Chiefs. But you're right. These next three are vital for the Chiefs' chances. If they get through these next three, maybe just one loss, I see them challenging for the best record in the top seed in the AFC. You know, if they lose to Denver and then pick another one or even three of them, then maybe back to where I thought they would be, and that's 10-6 because their schedule does ease up after New England, and you think that there's some more victory opportunities. But to go into Pittsburgh and win, and we saw what the Steelers did last night, and to handle the Chargers in L.A., the team that I thought was the best team in the division, the Chiefs have done it. They've impressed me, and I do think now that this is the best team in the AFC West. It'll be another playoff team, and maybe Patrick Mahomes will be the guy that can help the Chiefs win a playoff game, which has only happened one time in the last more than two decades.
Blair Kirkhoff with us. Blair, about 30 seconds. Is there a game, maybe that Rams game end of November, where the defense will have to step up? The points allowed is the worst since the Greatest Show on Turf through three games.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one. Who knew at the time? That Rams game's in Mexico City too, so neutral site game on a Monday night. This defense has to play better. I do think it will. I think the fact that Eric Berry has not played is a small thing for Kansas City. I mean, he's that important a player, and as his health improves, we thought he'd be playing by now, but he's not. We'll see. There's been some rumors out there that Chiefs might be interested in trading for Earl Thomas. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but I believe that this is a defense that's better than what it has shown. And anybody who's followed football knows when a team is up, like the Chiefs have been in some of these games, 21-0 at Pittsburgh and 35-7 against the 49ers, I think there's a tendency for the defense to relax a little bit. That's happened. But they've kind of gutted up when they've needed to. When the Steelers came back and tied it at 21 and the 49ers played 35-24. And after those possessions, the Chiefs defense actually played well and played well kind of when it had to. So we'll see if they can do it for an entire game and maybe win a breather once in a while instead of getting off to these great starts and then having to have some nerves down the stretch.
Blair, we'll talk again. Thanks for a few minutes today.
All right, Chris. Take care.
Good stuff from Blair Kirkhoff. Tom Dienhard, Big Ten insider, knows the Boilermakers. We'll boiler up next, and then a Searles sighting. Jeremiah Searles coming up in 15 with Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Big Ten insider all over the Purdue Boilermakers this year. Our old buddy Tom Dienhard. Tom, what's good? How are you?
Doing good. It's going to be interesting to see what happens here Saturday in Lincoln, obviously. Across the Big Ten, sort of been an uneven start. But I tell you what, though, Chris, Ohio State is looking awfully good at Alligator, isn't it?
Ohio State looks incredible, and Haskins phenomenal. I know Bosa's been out, but their defense is, it's a hockey line with their front four. They have they're you know 12 deep with defensive beasts, and you got incredible running game, quarterback that settled in, and oh yeah, Urban's back now. But I was wowed by that TCU win. TCU looked incredible. I know TCU just lost to Texas, but that was a ball game. That was a well played, high level ball game, and Ohio State, nothing like a 20-0 spurt with two defensive touchdowns.
Yeah, you find a way, don't you? If one part of your team's struggling, another part picks it up, and you're right. It looks like maybe Ohio State was on the ropes in that game down in Arlington for a while, but like you said, Chris, defense stepped up, produced some big plays. Of course, like you said, Myers back. We saw his debut last. They took down Tulane. Of course, now all eyes, not just in the Big Ten, but nationally, will be on State College, Pennsylvania, to see what happens when they take on Penn State, which what could be maybe the maybe the Big Ten game of the year.
You know, and you've gotten a lot of those early season Big Ten showcases. You had Wisconsin, Iowa last weekend at night that was a showcase. You have an early season showdown here because I think it was pretty late November or into November when Penn State, Ohio State hooked up in the Shoe last year. But you have a chance to take an East Division lead with still some treacherous games left for both Penn State and Ohio State. We'll get into Nebraska-Purdue here in a little bit, but I wanted to get your take here on Ohio State and this Penn State matchup. Franklin's team had the Friday night game against the Illini. The Illini and Lovie looked like they got some dudes, man. They got some good guys on the defensive line. They got some thick dudes that can run at that back seven. And the Illini hung, and then Penn State and McSorley did their thing along with the running game and dropped a 63-24 spot. What do you see happening in Happy Valley? This, you go back a couple of years, this really flipped the program for James Franklin, the win they had against Ohio State.
Yeah, going to be epic, isn't it, Chris? It's going to be a whiteout primetime game. It's going to be just a crazy atmosphere there in Beaver Stadium in State College, PA. While we talked about Ohio State in glowing terms, Penn State, why they are unbeaten, they've been a little bit more uneven, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. They're really struggling to stop the run. Remember, Appalachian State pushed them both to overtime, I think. They ran the ball on, of course, last week as well. Illinois had some success, too. So even Pitt ran the ball. So long story short, I think that Penn State defense, particularly run defense, could end up being their undoing against Ohio State. Again, the home field is going to be tough to overcome for the Buckeyes, but still, I think the overall balance of the Buckeyes, offensively and defensively, is going to be too much. And guys like Mike Weber and Dobbins are going to have their way running the football. And of course, Chris, if Dobbins and Weber running the football, what's that mean for Dwayne Haskins and Paris Campbell? I mean, it's going to be an incredible offensive display. I think Ohio State's going to have a chance to put up there.
I think you're right. I think Ohio State's feeling pretty good. They're locked in. Let's talk Purdue. Tom Dienhard, Big Ten insider, follows Purdue with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. Purdue's a great 1-3 team, and you can roll your eyes at me when I say that, but they're real close to being 3-1 or unbeaten. Blau's playing well. Moore is special. That guy is so good. Excited to see him at Memorial Stadium on Saturday. Just from a talent level, you get a player like of that caliber coming in, it's great. But Purdue seems to be heading in the right direction now. Is that fair to say? What's your takeaway with Coach Brohm and how he's feeling right now going into Lincoln?
Yeah, they're going to ride with some momentum, like you said. Much needed victory last week, victory number one versus a Boston College team that arrived in Ross-H Stadium with a 3-0 record and number 23 national ranking. Feeling pretty good about themselves, and Chris, it really wasn't a ball game. But for the most part, it was over by about mid-third quarter. I'm pretty sure they had more than, 33 points. They could have 45 points, I think, easily. But the story being here, Chris, is they're playing well right now, particularly defensively. That was the best effort of this season. The offense had shown, glimpses of big things this year, and it was supposed to be the strength of the team. It's really hitting on all cylinders now, but again, defensively, those were where the issues were at, and they really looked good last week. They stuffed A.J. Dillon, Chris, the Heisman Trophy candidate running back, 6 foot, 240-pound guy that was supposed to run roughshod over Purdue's defense. He got stuffed, generated four turnovers. So, again, they're playing well, and I fully expect Purdue to commit to stuffing Nebraska's run and trying to say, hey, throw the football. Beat us throwing the football, Nebraska. Let's see you do it. And if they do it, I'm sure Purdue would tip its cap at Purdue. I think it's been trying to make Martinez and Rambo's quarterback try to beat them throwing that ball.
Tom Dienhart with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Big Time, Big Ten insider. Scott Frost, immediately after the Michigan blowout, said this is as bad as it's going to get. It only gets, you only go one direction from here. Paraphrasing, obviously, but uttered the term winnable game, and that's been getting some play. I know Brohm was asked about it and commented on it in his presser yesterday. I think Brohm and Frost really, really respect each other, but Nebraska is just a whole different squad from their Colorado showing. What do you make of what Nebraska is in the middle of right now?
Yeah, I guess if you're Frost, you hope it is rock bottom, right? And I know it's frustrating for fans to have to experience this, and you know better days are ahead. But right now, it's a painful process. I think you're seeing the remnants of the lack of attention to detail recruiting-wise and talent-wise overall that went on with the previous regime. So it's not an overnight fix, obviously. But, you know, Nebraska's back against the wall. I know it's a prideful program, and that place is going to be packed. And, again, man, maybe this is the game that they can get and give us momentum. But you have to wonder, Chris, for Nebraska, it's always good to get off to a strong start in a game. Maybe it's more so even vital than this Saturday, I think, because Nebraska gets hit with some adversity early, gets in a deficit. You have to wonder if maybe self-doubt is going to creep in once again, and maybe the game can get away from them. So they need to come out, I think, try to run the football, keep Purdue's offense off the field if they can. They have to try to get a lead, too.
Well, you've nailed it. I mean, you got self-doubt creeping in. You wonder about buy-in as far as, okay, you're telling us to do this. Why are we winless? And why isn't it working? And it's the offensive line is just something that I'm befuddled by because Jay Moore I work with, and he's close to Greg Austin. And Greg Austin's a good offensive line coach. And his guys were ready against Colorado. Time will tell how good the Buff team is. But they weren't able to man up against Troy. And then you saw what happened against that Michigan front seven. Michigan's defense is incredible, so there's no shame in and having a bad day against them, but they just looked, and you heard some Michigan players say it, like they didn't want to be out there. I'm wondering what type of response the Nebraska O-line can have, and conversely, flip it around. Talk to me about the Purdue front seven. Are they smelling blood in the water, or is that a unit that can be muscled? What's your take?
Well, I think they smell blood in the water. Sure, they've seen opportunity here, and they've got to get a win, too, you know. 1-3, if they lose this ball game, you know, you talk about your bowl seasons being on life support.
Right.
And we're not even into October yet. That would be Purdue's scenario because they go to 1-4 with games left against Ohio State, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Michigan State. You know, it's going to be awfully tough. So they know this is one they have to win. Most likely they've got to win this game if they want to go to a bowl. So, yeah, they smell blood in the water. Now, as far as the front seven goes, you know, it's a work in progress. You know, the defensive line in particular played well last week. Big defensive tackle, Lorenzo Neal, is the guy to watch. He's a true run stuffer. They've really struggled to get a pass rush, Chris. They've had to manufacture one. They finally did it last week. They're blitzing more, bringing safety Jacob Thieneman. Marcus Bailey's the best, probably the best player on the team. He's a linebacker. He comes off the edge, no blitz. So they showed a lot of life getting a pass rush last week, which was important. So more than anything, Chris, I think Purdue's best asset on defense is its coordinator, Nick Holt. I think he's a sharp mind, and he knows how to scheme, and he gets guys to play hard, to play smart. So I expect him to be dialed in and ready to go. There's not a lot of All-Americans there. There's no All-Americans except maybe Bailey being a fringe guy. So, again, not a lot of talent, but a team that just plays hard.
Tom Dienhart with his Big Ten Insider, Hail Varsity Radio. Tom, what's the reputation Nebraska has right now around the league?
Well, you know, just a program that's still sort of finding its way. You know, we've both been around a long time, and we lived through the 90s. A lot of the fans listening lived through the 90s. They remember what Nebraska was. Even going back to the 80s, the 83 team. And we know what Nebraska was and what it can be. I mean, that place has everything it takes to be a good program. I think it's unprecedented as far as the facilities go. There's nobody in the Big Ten with better bells and whistles than Nebraska. Nobody's got better fans. But again, right now it's a program in transition. I think maybe the best way to put it, it's a program with a future that looks, I think, bright with Scott Frost, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a native son who's back, proven himself at Central Florida, confident coach, has some swagger as well, and then has a lot of pride in being in Nebraska and being a Cornhusker. I think that matters. And, again, just a, like I said, a program that's in transition at this point, not ready to compete. But I think in maybe 2 or 3 years, you know, the hill in the Big Ten West is not that big to scale. And maybe in 2 or 3 years, with the good recruiting, maybe Nebraska can get to Indianapolis to play for that Big Ten title again. And then, Chris, if you get to Indianapolis and it's a one-game deal, we all know that, you win that game and you probably have a good shot to get a playoff spot.
Yep, anything can happen. Tom Dienhart, Big Ten Insider, covers Purdue as well at TomDienhart1, where you follow him on Twitter. Tom, look forward to seeing you this weekend, bud. Thanks for a few minutes today.
You got it, Chris. Be good, buddy.
Good to see Tom Dienhart. We'll run him down this weekend as he's covering Purdue. Big Ten Insider. Our formerly favorite Carolina Panthers, our favorite Buffalo Bill now. Jeremiah Searles, the newest member of Bill's Mafia, up next here on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Newest member of the Buffalo Bills, standout Husker, Jeremiah Searles, is off to Buffalo. Searles, congrats, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thank you. It's been a rough couple weeks, but it's good to finally have a home.
I assume so. Tell us your story about 2018. It's been unique.
Yeah, it's been crazy. So I got released, wave injured from the Panthers at the end of training camp and signed a 3-week settlement there. So I've been back in Nebraska hanging out with you degenerates and
yes,
just hanging out and doing some radio and working out and getting ready to have an opportunity. And the Buffalo Bills called middle of last week, and I came out here and worked out to them on Friday. And then we were going to work something out, and then I came back home, and then I was actually on a plane to go work out in Indianapolis, landed in Indianapolis, and Buffalo was like, don't do that, come back here. So flew from Indianapolis back to Buffalo, and then we ended up being able to work out a deal and get everything set up and sign the deal today and get to go back to practice tomorrow.
Well, good for you, man. And Buffalo, a playoff team a year ago, a team that Josh Allen's the quarterback, a team that shocked your old team. And won in Minneapolis last weekend. What felt right about Buffalo, and what's kind of the rep of Buffalo around the league? I mean, they're tough, man. That's what I think of when I think of Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a really, really good defense just from what I've been able to watch for them the first few weeks, and then they got an offense that's got some places that need to get fixed, and I think that they're started to find a groove with Josh last week, and so I'm excited to be a part of something that I think can really build here. They've always had a great tradition. I mean, you think of Buffalo, you think of the snow games, and it's cold. And, yeah, I don't even know what division am I, NFC East?
AFC East.
North
or East? Back in the day, it used to be East.
AFC East. I'm the AFC East.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, so, yeah, so – Yeah, I just got here. Leave me alone. So, I mean, I think we have a good chance to make some noise. And it felt like a good fit. They were really interested in me the whole time I was getting rehab. They just kind of reaching out, making sure I was on progress and seeing where I was at. And so I was glad we were able to make something happen.
So have you been able to dive headfirst into the world famous Buffalo wings that were created in Buffalo?
I haven't yet. I have been, since about 10 o'clock this morning, I've had my nose dive deep into the playbook, trying to figure all this stuff out, trying to get going as quick as I can, because it's a little bit more difficult with a little less time than like OTAs and camp and preseason. And I got about 3 days until we play or something like that. So I've been pretty busy.
No, I was going to say, you're diving into the playbook. Tell me about Sunday. I mean, is there a chance you start, or do you rotate in, or do you even know yet because you just got there? Leave me alone. I'm studying.
I could not tell you what position I'm going to play. I cannot tell you where they would want me or any of that right now, because I think I'm going to get a nice crash course of all of that when I show up tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m.
Good enough. Jeremiah Searles, standout Husker, with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. He's been awesome to sit in with this when he's been back rehabbing, and from Minnesota to Carolina, from Carolina now to Buffalo.
One thing I noticed, Schmitty?
What's up?
You're going to have a lot of our favorite whatever NFL team I'm on. You're not going to be able to claim a lot more of those. This is my fourth NFL team. I've been your favorite San Diego Charger, your favorite Minnesota Viking, your favorite Carolina Panther, and now I'm going to be your favorite Buffalo Bill. Well, so I'm just saying, I better start slowing down here. You're going to run out of favorites.
Well, here's the thing. We have 32 teams in the league, right?
Just scratching them off one at a time.
Right on. It's like collecting those mini helmets for the top of our beer bottles in college.
Precisely. Except now they're just real helmets.
Yeah. No, and that's fine. That's fine. Do you have a take or a thought? Have you calmed down from Saturday?
What happened Saturday? I don't remember what happened Saturday.
Well,
I blacked out.
Yeah.
Blacked out in a fit of rage.
Too much rage. Too much ranch will do that to you on your pizza. Seriously, what's your take as Purdue comes into town?
I mean, I'd like to say that we're going to bounce back. I mean, I really would, because I think that's the culture that is there. I mean, I've been around it. I've been there. I know the culture that those guys have, and it's not a quitting culture. But, I mean, it was just frustrating to see that. I don't think the kids quit. I thought they played hard.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's a step in the right direction. But I honestly just think we got outclassed. I think that they came in there and they were able to capitalize early on those couple turnovers that we had, and then things just snowballed out of control. I mean, I've been a part of those games, man. It happened. It's not fun to be a part of, and I get it. People are upset, but people don't understand. Like, Scott Frost didn't come be the coach of Nebraska because everything was pretty and pink and, like, ready to go. He inherited a team that knew was going to need some work and need to get done. Did we know it was going to be this bad? Probably not. Did we know it was going to take this much time? We hope not. But it's going to take time, and it's going to take a lot of time, as we're seeing from what's going on. Mm-hmm. I think it's that we just got to sit back, support the kids, support the seniors that have been through three different coaching changes, and allow those kids to go out there and be supported by the greatest fans in the country.
Jeremiah Searles with us, Hail Varsity Radio, newest member of the Buffalo Bills, as he is in Buffalo, signed by the Bills today. That's awesome for him. Searles, got about 2 minutes here, bud. Chenander spoke today about he wants guys that just love football. And is that a hard thing to do in the locker room as a leader? Guys you know are super talented that but may not be all in when it comes to that football lifestyle, to get them to come with?
I tell you, it's hard to love football when you're losing, man. I don't care what level of football it is. I've been blessed enough that I have been on a good team my entire playing career, from Little League all the way up until the NFL. And so when losing starts happening, it's human nature to try and find why isn't it working, who's not doing what. And I don't necessarily know if it's not because you don't love football, because, I mean, you're always going to love the game that gives you the opportunity to get a scholarship and maybe have a job someday,
mm-hmm.
but it's tough. And so it is tough when you have guys in the locker room that might be pulling the opposite direction, or guys that might just need a little bit more pulling in the right direction. Not necessarily that they don't love football, but just need a little more, hey, come on, we know where we got to go. We know how we got to get there. I think that that's what this team needs to do, rally behind the leaders, rally behind the seniors that have been through a lot, and play for them. If not playing for the state, playing for the Husker, like for the state, for the coaches, whoever, play for these seniors, man. Three coaches in 5 years. I mean, that's a tough thing to do.
Jeremiah Searles at Searles71_HSKR is where you follow him on Twitter. And Buffalo Bills are at Green Bay this Sunday.
Yep, my old foes.
Yes, they are. So you know a thing or two about them Packers, and Buffalo rolls in fresh off a win against Minnesota. Searles, we're proud of you, brother. Keep kicking it, and enjoy Buffalo. We'll be following you, brother.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Take care. There he is, Jeremiah Searles, part of the Buffalo Bills as they head to Green Bay.
I was going to say, do us a favor and get the keep the Bears up on top. That'd be the best present he could get.
Danny, come on now. I mean, it's not always about you and your picks.
Not about picks, man. Just about pride.
Uh-huh.
We need our Bears to stay up there.
Uh-huh. Our Bears?
Yes, our Bears.
Your Bears.
I'm taking you on the train with me.
All right. Just get me a sideline. I'll do that. We'll wind down to Tuesday. Big thanks to Jeremiah Searles. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
We'll get that Searles interview retweeted for you and put out on the ESPN Lincoln and Hail Varsity Twitter handle. 80 years and counting. Things have been done the AgriGold way over decades. Together, we've built a brand that's truly different because of the knowledge, different because of the passion, different because we represent the voice of our customer, our true partner, providing customers with the very best seed, always backed by a handshake and a promise of more diversity, less risk, and greater yield. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. Busy second hour. Tom Dienhart, great on Purdue. Blair Kirkhoff, good stuff on Saban and Frost. And then there's Jeremiah Searles. Mitch Sherman was a lot of fun to chat with in hour one.
We got them all up right now, so feel free to go check them out on Twitter.
Cool. Good. And the on-demand.
That's right. You got
section
it right
on ESPNLincoln.com. The app is there. And iTunes also will have the full podcast coming up here in about 5 minutes or so. ESPN Lincoln will have that, iTunes, and then Hail Varsity. So you fired up. You and I get to do the old Real Red Reaction Purdue-Nebraska soiree.
Yeah, I'm pumped, man. We're going to be able to do the Real Red Reaction show after the Huskers' first win of the season.
Yes. I think we're both on point.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very, very real.
Hey, if you're going to
Nebraska can get that handled.
If you're going to give Nebraska 4 points at home, I'm taking that 7 days out of the week, man.
Yeah. Watch our boy Jay Moore tonight. He is on Big Red Wrap-Up with Shawnee Callahan and Kevin Kugler. That will be going about 7 o'clock on NET. Jay Moore will have his breakdown. That'll be good stuff. Should we qualify, folks? Should we get caller 8 and 9, Purdue-Nebraska tickets. We'll give those away Thursday at 5:25. And we'll qualify caller 8 and 9 right now, 800-825-5865 or 466-3776.
Dear Lord, the battles go through life. We ask for a chance that's fair. Chance to get all the stripes. Chance to do or dare. If we should win, let it be by the code. Our faith and honor held high. If we should lose, stand by the road. Cheers, winners go by.
To get an opportunity to come back here is special to me. Words can't describe how much it means to me to be back here in a place that I love, a place that I understand, a place that I want to represent.
There you go. Caller 8, caller 9 qualifies Nebraska-Purdue. Big thanks to Mitch Sherman. Big thanks to Jeremiah Searles. Many thanks to Tom Deanhart and Blair Kirkhoff today. Thanks to Danny Burke, Chris Schmidt. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 4 o'clock, and we'll run down Brad Edwards. Shuey going to be in. Mike Shuhart, Wilderness Ridge. We'll talk a little Tiger Woods W and as Ryder Cup gets cranked up. And we might run down another football expert. How's that sound? That's all loaded up for you on the Hump Day edition of Hail Varsity tomorrow. iTunes, HailVarsity.com, the podcast, the Hail Varsity and ESPN Lincoln Twitter handle, ways for you to find us. Talk to you tomorrow.